So if you ever want to hear a whole bunch of people's opinions about the right way to have a wedding, the best thing to do is tell people you're getting married. And then I guarantee you will be up to your armpits in other people's opinions. For me, personally, the hearing everyone's opinion part was not the number one reason I asked Dorothy to marry me. I asked her to marry me because I love her. But as soon as we tell people, everyone takes this as their personal hand-delivered invitation to tell us exactly what we must do. "You must line the aisle with candles," says Dorothy's best friend Nikki, like as soon as we tell her, like before she even says congratulations. "And the candles should ascend in height all the way up the aisle as a symbol for how your love and commitment grow stronger and burn brighter every day." "We're trying to keep things small and simple," I say. "We really don't want our wedding to turn into a big, complicated production." "But Peter, you have to have candles," Nikki says. "Otherwise, how will the half-blind love demon transcribe your names in the Book of Eternal Devotion?" "Oh," Dorothy cringes. "I forgot about the transcription of names in the Book of Eternal Devotion by the half-blind love demon." I squirm. "You don't think that's a little old-fashioned? I mean, my cousin Jeremy didn't have candles at his wedding, and his marriage turned out fine, even without the love demon's transcription of names." Dorothy darts her eyes at me, and I know what she's thinking. Wasn't my cousin Jeremy just last week complaining about the new carpets his wife bought for the second flailing sanctuary they installed in their above-ground prayer hut? Maybe they'd have better communication skills if they'd had candles at their wedding so the half-blind love demon could accurately transcribe their names in his book. I can tell this is a battle I'm not going to win. But I stress again, obviously, we can't do everything. We're trying to keep things simple. Nikki is unmoved by this argument. "Okay, but how complicated is it to get candles? I'm not saying you should rent a blimp or something. It's candles. You can literally get them at the Rite Aid." Dorothy looks at me with her big hazelnut chocolate eyes. And I know this is something she wants, even though she's the one who said in the first place that we should keep things simple. "Well, let's just see what they have at the Rite Aid," I offer. Dorothy lights up like the Yuletide hogfire, and I resign myself to the idea that we are definitely going to have candles of ascending height lining the aisle at our wedding. But the main thing everyone has an opinion about is when in the ceremony to sacrifice the goats to the stone god. "You want to do it early," says my mother. "That way you get it out of the way and everyone knows the stone god has been appeased, so this is a legal and blessed marriage." "Are you kidding?" says my little brother. He's studying to be a goat slaughterer at the university, so of course he has a lot of ideas about everything. "You know how much blood that is? You have to do the slaughtering at the end. Otherwise, you're going to slip in goat guts while you're doing the dance of the cuckolded woodland sprite. And the blood will get all over your marriage cloak, and the video will end up on one of those wedding fail blogs." In that moment, I don't have the heart to tell him we're not even planning on doing the dance of the cuckolded woodland sprite. And we probably aren't going to be wearing traditional marriage cloaks, and we definitely aren't hiring a videographer. My mother shakes her head. "It's actually not that much blood," she looks right at my brother, "if you get a good slaughterer." His face gets all flush like it always does when he feels like no one's taking him seriously. "Even if you get the best slaughterer in town," he says, "even if you get Joseph the Forever Sanctified, please," my mother scoffs. "You couldn't get Joseph the Forever Sanctified with this little notice." "Even if you could," my brother says, "I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot of blood." Dorothy puts a napkin over her pasta marinara. "I'm done eating." "I'm sorry," I say on the drive home from the Olive Garden. "I know my family's a little intense." "I love your family," says Dorothy. "They're just trying to help." "We should have eloped," I say. "We could have avoided all this stress and spent the money on a honeymoon." Even as I'm saying it, I know that's a stupid thing to say because A, what money? The only reason we can afford to have a wedding at all is because Dorothy's dad is a real mover and or shaker over at the Divinatory Rune Company, and he got his branch to sponsor us. I was a little ambivalent at first about having a corporate-sponsored wedding, but it is Dorothy's dad, after all. It's not like we're just shilling for lens crafters or something. And if it means we get to have our wedding at the good church, with the stained glass windows and the comfortable seats, instead of the multi-purpose room at the rec center, which, no matter how many candles you light, always smells a little like disinfectant and cottage cheese. Like as if someone tried to use disinfectant to cancel out the cottage cheese smell, but then it smelled too much like disinfectant, so they brought in more cottage cheese, and they're still to this day struggling to get the perfect disinfectant to cottage cheese ratio. Well, if we can avoid that whole mess, then maybe it's worth a few tasteful divinatory rune company banners and a brief mention in our vows of the many benefits and useful applications of affordable, twice-sanctified divinatory runes. But furthermore, B, even if we could afford to go somewhere for a honeymoon, we both know I couldn't take the time off. I'm already planning on working over harvest week, since the quarry pays time and a half on all holidays. And I'm counting on that bump to help cover rent, while Dorothy's getting her master's in social work. Really, the only thing stressing me out is the goats thing, says Dorothy. Once we figure out what to do with the goats, everything else falls into place. All of a sudden, I have a crazy idea. So crazy, I feel like I can't even say it out loud, but as soon as it worms its way into my head, I feel like I can't not say it. So I blurt out, "You want to just not sacrifice any goats?" Dorothy is silent for a moment, and I know that as soon as I stop the car, she's going to get out and run away and never talk to me again. And the next time I see her is going to be in a photo on the cover of a trashy tabloid at the checkout line with the headline, "My fiancé didn't want to sacrifice goats." But instead, Dorothy says, "Can we do that?" And I say, "Dorothy, it's our wedding. We can do whatever we want." She smiles, and I feel like how Clark Kent must feel when he overhears someone talking about Superman. But doing whatever we want turns out to be a real headache when we're applying for our marriage license. "How many goats are you going to sacrifice to the stone god?" asks the woman at window 5.